I want to show you something. This Rembrandt here. People come from all over the world to see this.
Yeah, he's good, yeah.
It's a fake.
It's impossible.
People believe what they want to believe. Because the guy who made this was so good that it's real to everybody.
You know what? If Big King gonna say pimping ain't easy, baby, then I think Mr. Batman himself gonna say hustling ain't easy, baby. Oh, I'm sorry. Hustling ain't easy, baby.
Fuck you.
Man, we talking about American Hustle, baby. Hustling, baby. And all I gotta tell you is right now, God damn, man, hustling look hard as fuck. This coming from a black man from Compton.
They made it, wait, damn. They made it look tricky?
Man, I was just like, God damn, cool. You know, you got Christian Bale's character. He doesn't hustle the big timers, you know what I'm saying? He keeps his small, underground, low-key and everything so nobody can tell, whatever. But then you got Brandon Cooper comes in and tries to up it up a notch. And it shit just goes from just regular ass people who you hustling off of to mobsters and shit like that and out of nowhere. I was just like, oh, okay, damn, shit, this look complicated.
Yeah, so I guess really my, well, I guess the one question I have here is, what exactly is this movie about?
Okay, so you got my man Christian Bale. By the way, everybody, everybody's asking me the same question. This is a song movie or whatever. I have to say, for the most part, but it's mainly Christian Bale's movie.
Okay.
Everybody thinks Jennifer Lawrence is in here. So she's going to win Best Female Actress for this. She's not, because she's probably in like six scenes.
She's going to win Best Supporting, maybe?
Best Supporting, she'll be nominated for that, definitely. But Amy Adams is in a lot more than she is. So anybody that's thinking, like, oh, I'm going to see Jennifer Lawrence on screen the whole time, whatever, hell, I even think Jeremy Renner is on screen more than her in some scenes.
Is he really good in this?
Oh, my God. Him and Bale, they were so damn good together. I was just like, wow. I was like, see, that was one of the main problems I have with Out of Furnace is there wasn't enough character interaction. Every character interaction here is just fucking amazing. It was, like, so charming and witty. And Bale, man, man, he holds this shit up, whatever. I was like, man, this guy is... some parts he looked threatening, but then, man, I can't believe that he was really that fat, though. I was like, God damn, okay, I know you can lose the weight, but fuck, man, how the hell did you do that to yourself? And he probably looked at me and just kept snapping his fingers like, hustling, baby, that's how.
That's how it works, boy, you know how this shit do.
I want to see this movie before Batman. I'm like, that nigga ain't Batman, get the fuck out of here. Fuck, somebody to tell me that, I'd be, man, fuck, man, you got your goddamn, my Batman, my ass, or whatever. The movie's about a con man, Irving Rosenfield, which you're gonna love. This shit had me laughing. The beginning of the movie, when it opens up, he's fixing his hair piece and shit. I was like, damn, this is how Nick Cage does his, whatever. He takes, like, it looked like pubic hair, dude, I ain't gonna lie. And he glues that shit to the ball on his head, and then he just combs over the rest of the head over it, and it's doing one of those things where it shows you the ending first and then gets into the story or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So then he goes into the other room, and then him and the Bradley Cooper character are arguing or whatever, and Bradley Cooper was like, if I wanted to make you upset, I'd do something like this, and he just pushes his comb over all over the side, and Bill's just standing there looking like, and A-Man's like, he doesn't like when you, oh my God, he doesn't like that at all. And he's just still standing there. He's just looking at him like he's about to kill him for this. He's like, and then when Amy Adams, he's like, does it look nice?
Damn,
that was pretty fucking. I knew he was a great actor, but I didn't know he was as damn charismatic and charming as he is. So it follows this con man, which another great scene too at the beginning. As soon as it starts, because he was like, his father owned, like, by the way, this is based in 1970s era of New York City. And his father was running a glass window build business. And he was like, even as a child, I was conning people or whatever. And he would go on town and just breaks everybody windows and shit.
So you're saying this opens like Goodfellas except with hustling?
Yes. Hustling, baby.
Instead of being in a, in the mafia, it's about hustling.
It's about hustling, baby.
So for that logic, Goodfellas is the hustling is to hustling what Mafia what Goodfellas was to Mafia.
Yes.
I know that sounded really confusing and muddled, but I'm like,
oh, I got it. I got it though. I get what you're trying to say though. But yeah, so it was funny as shit because it's like he's like, we never had any problems getting business or whatever. And you see this kid running down the block throwing rocks down each people's windows and shit. And it's like, damn. And then he would just go up. He's like, and I kept that business going as I got older. He's all fat and old now. Shit like that. He's still breaking windows and shit like that. I was like, damn, that's a good business move, to be honest. So, it's funny you bring up Goodfellas, because Robert De Niro is in this.
He is?
Yeah, which makes a cameo appearance, whatever, and he's playing a mobster, and I gotta say, all the times that people have tried to recreate his Goodfellas scenes or anything like that, this is probably done the best in that one scene he was in, because that motherfucker looked terrifying in this movie.
Damn.
Yeah, he looked fucking terrible. There was a scene where, because Bale, once again, Bradley Cooper's character, he's in his head or whatever. He's just going along, and Bale's like, can't get involved with this dude. Or he's running the mob. He's like, where we can go? We get to the rap. And they take him in this back room, and he's like, hey, don't you want to come out to the party? I forgot Robert De Niro's name in the movie or whatever. But he's like, no, I'm like in the back. I'm close by the exit, and in case I have to get out, I could just, you know, go this way or whatever. And I was looking at him like, what the fuck?
I would have been like, wait a minute. This is the kind of shit that happened to Ray Liotta back in Get Out of the Car!
Exactly. Well, why do you need an exit plan? My ass gonna turn right back around so he said, I was like, exit, what? And Bale was going over his head. He was like, man, this guy is bad news or whatever. He was like, I once heard this story of him just whacking a dude for owing him some money or whatever. And they showed this little clip of, like, Robert De Niro walking with this dude and just cocks him upside the head and put like 7 bullets in his fucking head. I was like, Jesus. I was like, yeah, you don't want to fuck with this dude then, whatever. And
I would have been like, hey, look, it's old Robert De Niro again.
Yeah, dangerous and crazy Robert De Niro again.
Yippee!
And then it's funny because this scene sets up, they have Michael Pena. Shit was hilarious. They have him playing an Arab.
Oh.
Which, because they want to, you know, pretty much, I'll go ahead and say this, like, Kristen Bell's character meets Amy Adams or whatever, they pretty much fall in love, but what you don't know is Kristen Bell is married to Jennifer Lawrence already, and they have a child together.
Oops.
And you find out pretty quick. Now, he only married her because she had this kid or whatever, and he kind of adopted the kid as his own. The kid's, like, probably, you've seen the kid in the trailer, so the kid is, like, really young or whatever, and their marriage is going, pew, but she doesn't believe in divorce or whatever, And she just has this seductiveness about her that keeps bringing him back, whatever, where she was like, you know the drill, we fight, we fuck, and then you just leave, you know? And which I don't mind that plan at all, but I gotta say, Jennifer Lawrence, I love you and all, but goddamn, bitch, you make me want to choke you out in this movie.
But that's a sign of a good role.
Jesus Christ, man, this bitch.
Because from what it seemed like with every trailer, she's the one who, like, could bring this whole operation down.
Yes. Yeah, and that's, man, she just talks too fucking much. That's what it's like. Just shut the fuck up for once, whatever. And she's kind of, you know, in the jealousy thing of Belle and Amy Adams' character here. And it's like, oh, you never talk. And there's a thing, too, about it. Not only did she get him, and, like, pretty much blabs the whole plan to one of the mafia members and shit like that.
Ah!
Yeah, I mean blab, too. And then she says, don't hurt him. He steals Tommy's father. Takes a sip of a cigarette, and I'm just like, you bitch! And then she does some shit like when her and Bill was arguing or whatever, and he's like, they had a fucking burlap sack on my head, and she was just like, he was like, but you know what? I came up with a plan though, whatever. And she was like, see, that's why I did that, because I knew that he would give you the motivation to come up with a plan. And then he looked at her and was like, you bitch, you still gonna take credit for almost getting me killed? And she was like, I know you work well under pressure, so I did what I had to do, whatever. See, now everything's all fine now, whatever. So what if they didn't kill you? He was like, they could have killed me. He was like, but they didn't. It was to a point where even I was exhausted from her talking to her. And Bill, he just sat on the bed and was just like, yeah, sure, you're right. You're
that
right.
Sounds like Machiavellian shit.
Man, she didn't show no remorse towards or whatever. She just sitting there like, yeah, I did a good thing. I did. You know, bitch, you didn't do a good thing.
But you're, like, from what you're saying, even though she plays an unlikable character, it seems like from what you're saying, she does a great job with it.
Oh, I wouldn't even necessarily say she plays an unlikable character, because there's something still to like about her. You can kind of understand where she's coming from, too, at one point, but, oh, my God, even that scene, because at the beginning of the movie, here he's talking to Jennifer Lawrence, he's like, oh, maybe we should just get a divorce. This isn't even working, whatever. He was like, look, I'm only here because of the child, and she was just like, you know, I have anxiety, too, coming up all kinds of excuses and shit. And then in this scene, when she was talking, I know I helped you and all that shit, whatever, she's like, look here, why don't you go take a walk? And maybe think about us getting a divorce, because I know that you're not ready to move on, but I think it's time for us to split apart. He's looking at her like, bitch, I told you this an hour ago. And she's like, I know it's hard for you to move on, but you need to just think about it, and maybe we can just move on from now, whatever. You're a sweet guy and all, but it's probably not going to work.
Right? So wait. I kind of got lost here. She's the one who wants a divorce and he doesn't?
She did. He was the one that did, but she manipulated to the point where, like, oh, he never said that or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
She's a manipulative bitch in this movie. That's what she
okay, is. All right.
She's
just looking
the kind of chick that'll wear me and you out to the point where it's just like, I don't even know if I'm right anymore.
Do I want to stick my dick in you? Do I want to kiss you? Do I want to leave?
Yeah, if you married her character in this movie, you'd be at a point 20 years from now where you just sat there and just let her talk and everybody be looking at you. Like, you ain't going to say anything. You'd just be like, you'd be wore out. That's the kind of character she is. Amy Adams. And then, you know, once then they conned this one guy, who, you know, which was Bradley Cooper, who plays an FBI agent. He thinks he's about to get the big bust on him, but he makes a deal with them. They need to partner up with him so he can bring in certain people. He said only four people, but then, you know, Bradley Cooper got way in over his head thinking that he can handle stuff. And as Christian Bale says in the movie numerous times, you're a fucking idiot, which he is in the movie. He just gets way over his head. And one thing didn't bother me in the film, but I didn't really care for it that much, is probably like the first 20 minutes is each character is about like narrating each other over what's going on. And I was like, I don't think you really need that much narration in this movie, for the simple fact that there's a lot of great actors in here that's given great dialogue. And mm-hmm. It kind of dragged it out just a little bit more, but it wasn't really that much of a bother. But that was probably like one of the complaints I had of the movie. I was just like, you don't need to narrate this. Jeremy Renner, he gets introduced as the mayor, and that's who Bradley Cooper wants to set up. And you would think like, he's a politician. Go ahead and set him up. But Jeremy Renner is like the perfect fucking politician. I mean, he believes in family. He goes up to the Bronx every day and shit to go chill out with some blacks and Puerto Ricans. The black people love him. The Puerto Ricans love him and shit. Like, he even adopted a black son. I mean, he's the
perfect. So they set it up where it's like, we're going to go after this politician. It's like, yeah, fuck politics. And then you see him, it's like, wait, no, don't go after this guy.
Exactly. Even Christian Bale's like, he's like, you want to go over? He's like, first of all, we're way in our head. We don't go over politics. That's not part of the hustle. The hustle is just keep it small. That way nobody knows about it to make a big deal about it. But Bradley Cooper obviously wants to get to it. But Leia, like you said, they set this guy up. Like, Jeremy Renner is like the perfect, like, he's the dude you want in office. Like, he doesn't do anything under the table. He's not dirty at all. He believes in family. He's good in with the black community, the Jewish community, every community. I mean, every community loves him. Senators respect him. Even the ones that are doing dirt, they still say, you're a better man than I am and shit like that. And Bale, they have a deal. Bradley Cooper kind of fucks it up, but Bale goes out and run after him. And they kind of become friends to the point where fucking they got drunk one night or whatever. And Jeremy's character went out and bought him a microwave, which in this time frame, microwave was barely just coming. And so he was just like, what the fuck is this? He was like, it's a mic machine. You know, it's like a science thing, whatever. You know, you just put stuff in it, heats it up, but don't put metal in it. Jennifer Lawrence obviously put the metal in it that blows it up and shit. you know, Bill is like, bought this for me? He's like, yeah, I bought it for you. He's like, you specifically went out to buy this for me. So, you know, you can see, like, kind of, he already doesn't like Bradley Cooper, but he kind of like, yeah, maybe I should give this hustling shit up or whatever. I mean, this guy's a real good friend to me or whatever. And you can see it throughout the movie, but to Bradley Cooper and Amy Adams, it's more of a job here and stuff like that. And you figuring, when's that point going to kick into where these two have that part where it's going to play up? And towards the end of the movie, that does happen, and Bale goes and pretty much, because he sets up this plan and take pretty much Cooper down or whatever to make him pretty much like Eddie Brock. Or some shit like that.
Oh.
His life, pretty much has him walking down the streets and shit in depression and shit like that, and people don't even notice him anymore, shit like that, whatever. But Bill, which I gotta say, this man, Jeremy Renner, man, I I like the guy. I don't really see him in too much solo films or whatever, but whenever he's interacting with people, him and Bill, man, they just had this certain charm and charisma about each film. Whenever they were interacting with each other, it was just amazing. Cooper, Bill and Jennifer Lawrence had a great connection together. Amy Adams was good, of course. I think it was Louis C.K.
How the hell is he in this?
That's what I'm saying. He plays the boss of Bradley Cooper, the FBI agent or whatever, and they have some great chemistry. I thought that was some of Bradley Cooper's best moments or whatever, because he's just playing the dumbass with the rest of the characters. But here with Louis C.K., he's like straight up comedy with him, whatever. There was even a scene where, like, after he got done arguing with Bill and Amy Adams, he gets on the phone and calls him. He's like, "Tell me where your fucking location is. I'm gonna come beat the hell out of you." And he's like, "What did you say?" And then he just hangs up the phone. And then next, you know, you see the next scene over where Louis C.K. is talking to his superior or his boss or whatever, and he's got this eye patch on him and shit, scars on him and all that shit. And he's just like, and then he's just like, shows him, he's beating him up, whatever. And then there's a scene where he's just like, "I only hit him with the phone 3 times." And then you pull guns on each other and shit like that. So yeah, that was great interaction. The one that got me was the bail with Renner, when he finally told Renner, like, "Look, they got you hand money over to other senators and shit like that when we was doing those deals." And he was, and you know, Renner was like, "I only did those deals because I thought we was doing something good for the community or whatever." He was like, "You fucked me over or whatever." And you could tell it really kind of affected Bell in the movie, which was, it kind of ruined their friendship, because Renner ended up getting like 10 months in prison and shit for it or whatever. So they kind of,
hey, that sucks.
Yeah, it was kind of, even at the end of the movie where Bell was narrating or whatever, he was like, "I lost my friendship with Renner, but he's like, you know, I can't get that back, but at least I have my..." Because he ended up at the end of the movie getting the child away from Jennifer Lawrence's character.
What happened?
Because she just pretty much left and went with that mobster dude she was dating or whatever, which the mobster and Bell was finally cool too, whatever, because they pretty much didn't turn in a fucking Robert De Niro's character, so...
It's like, "Look, how can I repay you? Eskimo buddies, Eskimo buddies."
Yeah, what they did was, because Bradley Cooper thought that they were making a deal with him or shit like that, but Bill and Amy Adams set it up where it was funny, because they thought that was actually Robert De Niro's lawyer and shit, but it was turned out some meat guy that...
Oh, Bill shit!
...that Bill knew in Brooklyn and shit or whatever, so they had him transfer money or whatever to an account or whatever, and then they tried to put the blame on Bill and Amy Adams, but then Bill was just like, "I didn't transfer the money, remember? Y'all was on the phone. We was wired, remember? Brad Cooper did all that," or whatever. And they was looking at him like, "Wait a minute, you did do that." And he's like, "No, they set me up." Set me up, whatever. So, yeah. I mean, great. You know what? There was one sequence in here that really reminisced about the 70s, too, because that was mainly what I was paying attention more to the movie, is how close it was staying to the time period. There's a scene where Amy Adams and Bradley Cooper go to this club, and the scenery in it was very 70s. Like, I really liked that scene just for its cinematography purposes. There was the way they were dancing and the disco and the music and all that stuff. I was just like, man, I'm really into this. Like, I believe that this is the 70s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of movies don't do that nowadays when they try to put that time period in. They kind of forget the essence of what makes that time period. And I thought that scene alone was just, it was just fucking out. Actually, it was kind of amazing.
All right. So what would you give it?
I'd definitely give it a C. My only complaint really was the narrative part or whatever. It kind of dragged it out just a little bit longer than it needed to be, especially when they were setting up so much exposition in it or whatever. And I was like, oh, the movie's got enough exposition as it goes along. Whatever. Didn't really need this dragged out narrative. But I still enjoyed it. And I will say I have no intentions to see it in theaters again, because it is, at least for my, I hear it's only 2 hours, but mine was 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Shock. I don't know why, but it was kind of dragged on a little bit. I would see this at home or whatever to enjoy it more.
Okay.
That way I can sit in that fucking chair or whatever. I'll give it a C. It still is one of my top, if not top 10 favorite, in top 15 or whatever. So yeah, see it.
Okay, cool. Well, that's it, folks. Number one of P1's Oscar contenders for this weekend down. One more to go.
Make it hustle, baby. We just want you to know. Hustling is not easy, people. I'm telling you.
And with that, we're going to end this PSA that could get us arrested. So good night, everyone.
Yes, it will probably get us arrested. Teach everybody how to hustle.
I realize we say that every week now.
It's a TMI.
No, usually we say something that could possibly get us arrested. So, good night, everyone.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You never took a quarter from a phone booth. You stole. I just got bigger balls than you. Good times, bad times, you know I'll pay my share.